You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans, by Saints fans. You know what it is. Go ahead and throw me a follow on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. If this is your first time catching the podcast, you picked a great time to join the show. Please be sure to subscribe and share so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Remember, you can also find Locked On Saints on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now the new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as just about anywhere else you get your podcast. And when you're out on the road, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints to tune into the newest episode. Episodes are usually just about the perfect amount of time for your drive to work or back home through traffic. Welcome in for today's episode. And today we're going to be talking about the possible Robert Quinn trade that the Saints have been in on and what some of you said that you'd be willing to trade for him. Then we'll talk about a position that we all kind of assumed the Saints would be going after this offseason, but obviously the team feels differently about where they are at the position, and we'll take a look at some of the bigger stories from around the league, including a quick rundown of some recent signings and draft prospect visits. I got all that and a little bit of Lanyap coming up for you today on today's edition of Locked On Saints, your team every day. So yesterday we talked a little bit about the Robert Quinn trade, or possible Robert Quinn trade, that the Saints are in. Again, the Miami Dolphins are trying to move Robert Quinn and have agreed to reportedly agreed to pay part of his salary in order to help move him to a team. He's due almost $13 million this season. And so if they're willing to pay, you know, around $6 million, $7 million of the salary, then that makes him really appealing to other teams who then only need to pay about $5 or $6 million to get this, a first round pick, 2011, 14th overall. He was selected 10 picks before Cam Jordan. So, I mean, he's an outstanding player. He's got 15 sacks over the last two seasons, even more tackles for a loss. So he's a good option for the Saints right now, who have been looking at bringing in a veteran defensive end presence to continue to rotate with Marcus Davenport the same way that they did last year with Alex Okafor. They do have the youngin' on the sideline, or not really on the sideline, but they do have the youngin' in the periphery with Marcus Davenport, who is the person that rotates in. But I think they like the idea of having him continue to rotate with, you know, a veteran presence, somebody that's able to mentor him, somebody that's able to continue to do that before they finally really give him, you know, let him take the driver's seat, let him take the steering wheel at that defensive end position opposite Cam Jordan. So it makes sense that the Saints would be interested in someone like Robert Quinn. And good news for the Saints, Robert Quinn on Tuesday went to Dallas to visit, and then just that evening, actually, right the same night, he left without a deal. So basically what's going on is that Robert Quinn is now set up to meet with the Saints after leaving Dallas. And so the way that this all essentially works is that Robert Quinn is touring these couple of places, and he essentially needs to sign off on where it is that he is going. It's a little bit like he's being treated a little bit like a free agent in that way. He sort of gets to hit the open market, quote unquote, and then help to negotiate a trade and say, this is the place that I want to go, which then would help that team say, okay, at least he wants to be here. We're not trading for him and bringing him to a place where he doesn't want to be, things like that. So next up for Robert Quinn is his visit to the Saints. And I think that the Saints would really benefit from having a guy like Robert Quinn. But then the question becomes, what would the Saints be willing to move in order to get Robert Quinn on the team for next year? So we put the question out on the All Saints Considered Twitter page, which is at All Saints Blog. You should throw it a follow, by the way, including throwing me a follow at Ross Jackson ASE, because some of y'all still don't follow me on social media, and you know, we gonna fix that. It's gonna be all right. So over on the All Saints Blog, or All Saints Considered page at All Saints Blog, we put out the question, what would you be willing to trade for Robert Quinn? So we got a couple of good answers. You know, St. Charlie from over at the Who Dat Dish podcast said, not much, plus Miami would have to eat a lot of his cap, which Miami is rumored as being willing to do. So I think that that's good news for Charlie, or St. Charlie, as we like to refer to him. Dylan Sanders, who's one of our contributors, said he would trade his sleep schedule. I feel you, homie. I feel you. And of course, we got the obligatory about Tree Fitty joke, good old South Park reference there. But when we get down to the meat and bones of what this is, we got a response from at Captain Ralph on Twitter, who said, I would give up a fifth round pick. We need to be trading for a wide receiver or a tight end. I'll come back to that second point. But in terms of trading a fifth round pick, that's about where I am too, in terms of what I would trade the most, right? So that's me saying that the most that I would trade would be a fifth round pick. The Dolphins traded a fifth round pick to get Robert Quinn there last year. So yeah, you would imagine that that could essentially set the market for what other teams would be looking to spend for him. And of course, the salary cap, that, you know, his salary cap hit doesn't help. Even if they do cover a good portion of it, it still makes sense that you would sort of leverage, you know, whatever it is that they're willing to pay versus whatever it is that they're not willing to pay, all of that in order to be able to lower his price. But of course, I'm a little bit different, and I'll come to that later. The next person that I have is at Matt_theKing8, who said a sixth and a seventh, because we have two picks in the seventh and we have two sixth round picks. That makes sense. Get two draft picks out there. And I'll tell you the advantage of getting two of this year's draft picks out here in a moment. William C. Smith at WCS21USN said a fifth rounder, and they take about $6 million of his contract. Yes, 100%. Brian Hart at the Brian Hart said a fifth round pick. CJ at @1Hefe_ said seventh, which, good luck. Good luck there. Charles at Charles Hall 94 said a fifth or a pair of sevenths. And then we got a couple other picks that are, you know, a sixth. At David Nola 985 said a fifth in 2020 that becomes a fourth if Quinn leads the NFL in sacks. So a conditional 2020 fifth, or a 2019 sixth and a 2020 seventh. A little underpaid there, but I could see and I could understand why you would go for that. I think the idea of putting in a late pick from next year makes sense. And I understand that being something that, you know, the Saints could do. The Saints could pair a pick from this year and do a pick from next year. I still think it's advantageous for the Saints to trade two day three picks this year. And again, I'll come back to that. But I want to talk about this one real quick. At @Drew_Cubit said a fifth, and Hendrickson is probably the top that I would go. Now, this is really interesting. You have, you know, Robert Quinn, who's 28 years old, who's still young. He's about to be 29 in May, so still young enough to play this position at least. And then, you know, you're talking about making a move for him and getting a veteran presence here. And so you can potentially give back to Miami a young prospect like Trey Hendrickson and a fifth round pick. And I think if you're going to give up Trey Hendrickson, I think you could actually get away with giving up a sixth round pick instead of a fifth. So I think that that's actually a pretty good move. I think that that's a very, you know, it's one of those ones that, look, it unloads a contract that you don't have to worry about. You have to worry about releasing Trey Hendrickson when his contract is up. You can move him now and then you can get some assets back for him. And who knows, you might be able to get, in that case, Robert Quinn and maybe another late pick or something like that. But I'll tell you why I would avoid late picks coming up here after the break. We're going to jump to the break real, real quick here. And then once we come back, I'll tell you what I would trade and why. And then we'll move on to our next topic and talking about a position that we all thought the Saints would be going after this year. But they seem pretty steady with saying, nah, we good with where we are. So we'll take a look at that right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Who Dat Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints. And remember, to get this show every Monday through Friday, go ahead and subscribe to Locked On Saints on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to the Locked On Saints podcast. All right, so we were talking about Robert Quinn and the price that we would pay for him. We were looking over some of the responses from the All Saints Considered Twitter page, which you can follow at All Saints Blog. And I think that I would want to trade a couple of the day three picks. At Machiavelli here says a fifth and a sixth maybe, and that's about where I am, maybe even both six round picks, not a fifth and both six round picks, not three picks, but maybe just two. And one of the reasons why I look at trading two of the day three picks is that either of any of those picks costs you about $500,000 to sign the rookie that you would draft for that season, if you sign them at all, if they even made the team. So with that being the case, I would rather ship off a couple of those day three picks that we know we're probably going to end up, that we know probably going to get cut anyway, more than likely. They're probably not going to make the roster because there's not that much space on the roster at all. So with that being the case, move a couple of those. Don't worry about saving that money for draft picks. Get that money out there as a part of what you would have to pay to help bring Robert Quinn in. So if you can imagine saying that the Dolphins are going to pay $7 million of his salary, that leaves you with about $6 million left to pay. You move to day three picks, that saves you about $1 million. So that's only four. That's really in terms of the way that you can look at it, it's really only $5 million then that you have to pay, because you saved yourself $1 million by moving some of those draft picks. That's one of the reasons why I'm a big advocate of, if they make this trade, this is all hypothetical in terms of if they make this trade, I wouldn't be upset with them moving a pair of those day three picks. So that's where I am with that. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. And of course, you can go ahead and add your answer to the question here at All Saints blog as well. So moving on now, I want to talk about a position that we all sort of thought that the Saints were going to be going after this season, and that's wide receiver. One of the biggest issues that they had last season was finding somebody opposite Michael Thomas to produce from the wide receiver position. And they haven't really even, they haven't been connected to any wide receivers. They haven't taken visits from any wide receivers. There was a fake report going around that they were hosting Randall Cobb. That was from a fake ESPN radio account. But other than that, there's not been any actual reference to them seeking out any help at the wide receiver position. And you have to wonder why. You had people on the, on the market like Adam Humphries, Cole Beasley, who I wouldn't have taken anyway, but Cole Beasley, Jamison Crowder, Randall Cobb, Golden Tate, who would have been a little bit out of the price range anyway. But still, you have these players that are these slot players, these slot technician types that the Saints really like, none of them really being big slots, which is really what the Saints like. People like Keith Kirkwood, people like Cameron Meredith. So there must be something happening that the Saints feel really good about, whether that be Dez Bryant's rehab, who has said, stated his intent with coming back to the team, and the team has stated their mutual intent of bringing him back if his rehab goes well. He posted a video yesterday of him working out. I can't remember with whom, but he was, on the bike and talked about how he was going to light it up next year. So he's obviously feeling good about his rehab, but we need to sort of see what that means opposite how he's actually doing with his rehab. But obviously the Saints team feels really good about that, and or feels really good about Cameron Meredith as well, who of course only played a few games with the Saints before going back on injured reserve with that knee injury that's continued to nag him. So he now has had, he'll have the entire offseason. He'll have had half of a season to sort of get over whatever that is, hopefully, fingers crossed. But obviously they feel pretty good about where they are. I mean, they have all these other weapons as well in Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn Jr., Tre'Quan Smith, and Keith Kirkwood. And Keith Kirkwood, I was talking to somebody on Twitter yesterday who was talking about how he's concerned about Keith Kirkwood's injury history, but he doesn't really have one. He had the one minor calf injury that kept him out of the championship game, the NFC championship game, but he would have been ready for the Super Bowl. It was a minor injury. So I wouldn't be worried about that at all. I wouldn't be worried about Ted Ginn. I mean, yes, I know he's getting up there in age, but when he came back from his injury this past season, when he came back in that Steelers game, he was right back to form, and you could see the offense starting to take shape again with him in the lineup. So he continues to find a way to stretch the field, even at his age. He's still fast. He can still get down there. And the thing about it is that, do the Saints really need to have that deep ball right now, knowing what's going on with Drew Brees and that he had some challenges getting the ball downfield toward the latter half of the season? Sure, I mean, they can still mix it in, but Drew Brees is still the most accurate passer when it comes to short and intermediate passes. They run a very efficient offense that way. He's the most accurate quarterback in the history of the NFL in terms of a full season, and really in terms of a career. And so you have what you need around the wide receiver position, as long as those question marks, Cameron Meredith and Dez Bryant, find a way to stay healthy. And especially having somebody like Dez Bryant, who can play in the slot, who can play outside, who could spell Ted Ginn Jr. so that Ted Ginn Jr. doesn't have to be on the field the entire time. You get those two big body possession receivers in Michael Thomas and Dez Bryant, who both may be big body possession receivers, but also have the ability to do much, much more as well. You get them both on the field with hopefully some tight end. Maybe it's Jared Cook, maybe it's Austin Seferian Jenkins, or maybe it's a rookie tight end if they decide to go that way in the second round. You get those people out there that have the ability to affect in the passing game. And then you have, of course, Alvin Kamara. You have Latavius Murray, who has just about the same, we compared the stats from him, or the production, let me say, of him and Mark Ingram from last year. They have about the same catching ability, because I know that Mark Ingram gets credited with a lot of, as having a lot of catch ability. You know, he's one of those guys that people talk about a lot as a satellite back and stuff like that. But Latavius Murray has about the same production through the air as Mark Ingram has had over the last few seasons. So it makes sense that the Saints would feel comfortable about what they have in the passing game. And it probably speaks to good fortune for players like Cameron Meredith and Dez Bryant, who the Saints are just hoping and waiting. Or maybe they're not waiting. We're waiting to find out that they're going to be healthy. But maybe they know that this is going to be a fit for next season. And so we're Gucci on, you know, going after these free agents and overpaying and things like that. And of course, there's always the late, and I know I keep ringing this bell, but this is a hill that I'm willing to die on. The Saints are really, really good at finding that talent late in free agency. So maybe there's somebody that they have their eye on for there. I can't imagine who it is at the moment. There are still some receivers out there, but for the most part, the guys that we expected the Saints to target, they haven't really gone after. They haven't been connected to at all. They haven't been connected to the wide receiver position at all. So, you know, that could spell some good news for what the Saints are looking like next season with the guys that they already have in the building. So something to keep an eye on as free agency dwindles down. Of course, the Saints are still in the mix for people like Jared Cook, or a guy like Jared Cook as well. Or I'm assuming they're still in the mix. I don't have any reason to believe that they're not. So I'm going to say that they are, and then we'll see where that goes. So, all right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and jump to our break now. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the big stories from around the league, including an unexpected signing, or at least one that I didn't see coming, an AAF signing that's also unexpected, and then we'll talk about the one draft prospect visit that we all knew was coming but still managed to shock the world. So we got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Time now for us to take a look at some of the big stories from around the league. I'm going to start off with a bit of AAF news, which is connected to the Saints slightly, because the Memphis Express are that team that is connected to the Saints as a franchise. They're sort of the minor league team for the Saints. And so those players that, you know, don't work out for the Saints, they sort of get first dibs, as well as a few colleges and a couple of other teams as well that sort of feed into the Memphis Express, and then vice versa. Once that whole the dynamic between going from the AAF to the NFL is figured out and settles down, that will also be a possibility for players from the Memphis Express as well. And they have gone through a couple of quarterbacks there over in Memphis. They started off with, Christian Hackenberg, who was just... anyway, so they moved on from Christian Hackenberg. They went to Zach Mettenberger, who LSU fans were very excited about to see back on the field. I know certainly I was, but unfortunately he was injured in last week's game. And so the Memphis Express have now signed former Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. And so Johnny Football is back to, well, football. He's back on the gridiron. I'm expecting to see him next week. I don't believe that because he's playing for the Memphis Express that it at all really connects him to the New Orleans Saints, but definitely with the Memphis Express being the team connected to the Saints, it's an interesting storyline to follow. So if you're looking for some football action and some very intriguing storylines to follow coming up next week, potentially the week after, definitely check out the AAF this weekend to watch the Memphis Express game to see how Johnny Manziel fares being back on the football field in I don't know how long. So it'd be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun to watch. We'll see how that goes. Looking at some draft prospect visits, the Saints have set up a couple of draft prospect visits. They have some visits coming from Nebraska players like Stanley Morgan Jr., wide receiver there, as well as Divine Azigbo, the very versatile running back. But some other sort of less surprising, but also still shocking somehow or another, visits have taken place. The top one has to be the Cardinals meeting with quarterback Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. This sort of stirs the pot a little bit more about the idea of trading Josh Rosen, drafting Kyler Murray with the first overall pick in the draft. Cliff Kingsbury did say before he ever became a coach in the NFL that if he ever got the chance to draft Kyler Murray in the first round, he would do it in a second. And so this sort of stirs the pot a little bit more. It could just be the Cardinals doing their due diligence. They do have the number one pick overall and after all, so they might as well meet with the most, you know, the most likely top prospects in this year's draft. Likely, they're kind of the same, not really the same actually at all, but the Giants had dinner with quarterback Dwayne Haskins. We know that the Giants at least should be in the market for a quarterback in this year's draft. They should have been in the market for a quarterback in this year's free agency too, but, you know, David Gettleman's gonna Gettleman, so we'll see what happens there. They still believe Eli Manning to be the, you know, to be the guy over there. I was gonna say the future, but to be the guy over there, and so we'll see what actually happens there. But at least they met with Dwayne Haskins, and there's something to be said in that. a surprise signing in the NFL for me, because I actually expected that he wouldn't end up on a team, at least for a while, but then he ends up on a team with a guy that he has a very, very sort of kind of gross history with, and that is the Raiders signing linebacker Vontaze Burfict. Of course, Burfict and Antonio Brown have a history together playing in the AFC North and just really not liking each other. Late hits, helmet-to-helmet hits, all this other stuff. Just a lot going on between those two. And I was shocked, first of all, to see him signed in the NFL after everything that he's done, and to sign a $5 million contract, which I can't remember who it was, but somebody said that it was really great of him. It was on Twitter saying that, like, it's actually pretty courageous of him to take a contract that equals out to less than what his fines will be this year, which is hilarious. But to sign with the Raiders and to be teamed up with Antonio Brown, who he has some bad blood with, just goes to show you that sometimes, like, opportunity, pay, all of that stuff can sort of squash beefs if need be. So we'll see how that dynamic plays through the rest of this season. And then, of course, the former Packers linebacker Clay Matthews signs with the Los Angeles Rams. He is going to fit in so well in Los Angeles with that hair and that look. It's just going to be perfect. But I was actually kind of hoping that he was like a low-key signing that I was hoping that the Saints might at least look into, so they could have the hair twins of Clay Matthews and Alex Anzalone on the field at the same time. Nothing more than that. That's exactly what I was looking for. Another ex-Packer signs elsewhere. That is Randall Cobb, who signed with the Dallas Cowboys just this past year, also on a one-year, $5 million contract. So he is looking like the new slot receiver heading into Dallas to work with Dak Prescott alongside Amari Cooper. And then, of course, we already talked about Robert Quinn. His visit has ended with the Cowboys. He is now heading over to New Orleans to visit there. Tyler Eifert, one of the top tight ends on the market, even though he comes with a lot of injury concerns, has re-signed for a one-year deal with the Cincinnati Bengals. Good on him. And then one other Los Angeles signing that I just have to talk about. Jacksonville Jaguar, or former Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, you know how much I love following this storyline, is now signing with the Los Angeles Rams. So he is going to be backing up Jared Goff. And according to the Bortles Facts Twitter, will eventually be displacing the near Super Bowl quarterback, which just is not going to happen. But congratulations to Blake Bortles for finding a place there. The Eagles have signed safety Andrew Sendejo, who was a candidate for the Saints at that third safety role, but obviously another position that people sort of expected the Saints to go after, just like wide receiver, but they're not worried about. And then finally, the last story I'll talk about today, Eric Berry is on his way. Well, he visited with the Cowboys and he sort of got his offer there. He's three-time All-Pro, been to the Pro Bowl numerous times as well. So he had a good visit with the Cowboys, but now he's visiting with other teams to sort of see what his options are, to figure out where he's going to go next. He is a safety that I never expected to be on the free agent market this year. But again, that 2019 safety free agent market was so ridiculous. And now Eric Berry is working that market to see where is going to be the best place for him to land. And I'm sure he's taking his time, especially after hearing what happened with Earl Thomas, who almost signed a very cheap deal with one team and then got a very lucrative deal with the Baltimore Ravens because he had some patience and he gave it some time. So I'm sure Eric Berry is doing much the same thing. Wish him luck in his adventure looking for his next team. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for sticking around throughout the rest of the week as we move forward through this free agency period. The Saints are not done yet, and I'm going to keep you updated every single step of the way with reactions, analysis, all of that. So as always, I just want to say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And please take some time to rate and review, as that helps me so, so, so much. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints either at home or in your vehicle while you're on the road. And be sure to subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and of course the new Himalaya podcast app, so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you for all of your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust, Hoodat Nation, I'll holla at you.